let's remain standing for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Remain standing for the reading of God's wonderful Word. As Brother Elliot Smith would say, let's remain standing for God's inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God. And that's exactly what we want to try to do this morning. Stand and read our text together. One verse of Scripture is what we've been doing. We're in verse number 12 of Solomon chapter number 8. Closing out the book. Won't be long until we'll close this chapter of our life and trust the Lord to lead us into green pastures and beside still waters in another book in the Bible. Solomon now in chapter number 8 and verse number 12. The Word of God said, "My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200. I'm not going to preach on the last part of that verse at all. Not today, this morning, or tonight either. But there's six parts there. There's 1,000 for Solomon and 200 for the keepers. That makes a total of 1,200. He said 200 of it belonged to the keepers. That's the number of man. 6 is the number of man. 1-6. That's our reward for keeping God's vineyard. I don't intend to preach on that, but I thought I'd share it with you. It might be something good you can study out. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God again this day. And I pray for a special touch, Lord, from Your Spirit, for an old-time filling of the Holy Ghost of God, for real liberty, Lord, and freedom of thought and mind and speech, that we might declare Thy Word to Your people. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would take Your Word today and quicken it to our hearts. Give us understanding. Take it, Lord, and do a work that will bring glory to God's name and blessing to our heart and life. I'd ask You to save every sinner under the sound of my voice. And may Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name be glorified today. I thank You, Lord, for loving a wretch like me. Thank You for loving old, unlovely sinners. Now, bless Your wonderful name for the work You've done. I do pray You'll provide liberty now and freedom in the house of God. I pray, Lord, that no one would grieve nor quench the Holy Ghost as You work in our lives to bring glory to the Son of God. And we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, in verse number 12, Lord willing, I'll be right back in this same verse tonight in the same portion of Scripture. But we have here the bride and the groom both speaking, the Lord Jesus first and then the bride last. But as the Lord speaks, He says, "My vineyard is mine. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me." My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Notice that, "my vineyard," and He repeats it, "which is mine, is before me." I want to preach, if God will help me, for just a little while this morning on a vineyard that's not for sale. A church that is not for sale. I heard some good news that came out of Muhlenberg County last week, and I thank God there's still somebody over there with a little backbone about them that will stand up against the devil and not sell their soul for a dollar bill. And I want to try to preach this morning for a little while on that thought, if God will help me, a vineyard that's not for sale. As I said on Tuesday night, I'll say again that we're now singing in the last stanza of Solomon's song. We're closing out this lovely ode that has been sang, that has brought blessing and joy to my heart. The bride and the groom are still making lovely music. They're both conversing to one another. They're singing to one another. Now I want to say, my friend, on the authority of the Word of God, if you're saved by His marvelous grace, when you close out the last chapter of your life, you'll still be making music for the Lord. You'll still have grace, effectual grace, working in your life that will ring the joy bells of heaven in your soul and cause you to be thankful for God lifting you out of sin. You know, the wages of sin is still death. And when we realize that we were dead in sin and traveling down a road that was ultimately going to lead to the damnation of our soul, and knowing that we've been lifted out from that position ought to create a sense of joy and praise in our heart to Him that loved us and died in our place. Not only died in our place, but died for us and as us on the cross of Calvary. And somebody said, where's the backslider? There are none. They're lost. You can tell them I said so. You don't backslide. Backslide is a term that's given to the nation of Israel. We might grow cold and break fellowship for a little while, but He's not going to let you stay in that shape. You remember in chapter 5 when she got cold on God and indifferent and got complacent? She might have locked herself in that room for a little while, but God, my friend, soon saw to it that she came out of that discouragement and began to pursue and follow Him again. Now don't tell me you get so discouraged that you just draw back and fall away from God and lay there cold and dormant all of your Christian life. Oh no, son, He'll deposit a little grace in your heart, bring you out of that condition, and give you the joy to keep on pursuing Him in this Christian life that He started us off in. I wonder about the salvation of folks that stay in the mully grubs all the time. Amen to God. That's right. In the mully grubs all the time may be an indication, friend, you ain't got much. Amen. I won't charge you nothing for that. I think prophetically speaking, I believe these verses speak of Christ's ascension back to the right hand of the Father. The words before us are the parting words and are therefore words to be cherished by the church. I believe prophetically speaking, these are the final words of Christ to His church. This may be looking to the time when He stood on the Mount of Olives and ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. And those two angels in white stood there and asked you, men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus that was taken from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him taken away. I'm glad that when His work in the vineyard was completed, He ascended back to the right hand of God the Father, and He has left you and I in the vineyard to carry on the work of God under the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost of God. And that vineyard that has been bought with His blood is not for sale. My vineyard, which is mine, He said, it is not for sale. Much less for sale. It's not even for rent. Amen. It's not for sale. No, sir. We ought to cherish these words. By application, I believe that we could say that these are the final words spoken between a man and his bride just before one or the other makes the crossing. What cherished words. What wonderful words. I'm wondering what I'm going to say to my wife when I get ready to cross and leave her behind. Y'all do know I'm going first. Amen. She's already settled that. She wants to argue a little bit, but we've already settled that a long time ago. No, if she makes the crossing before I do, I want to be there to hear those final words, and they shall be my song in the night until her and I once again make that glorious contact over on the other side, when we shall never anymore ever be separated. Well, no, but live in harmony and unity for all eternity in the presence of God. Amen. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And I'm telling you, if God's put us together and they twain are one flesh, we shall enjoy one another over on the other side. Amen. Now, the first portion of this verse is spoken by our Lord. He said, my vineyard, which is mine is before me. And the rest of the verse is spoken by the church in response to what Christ had just said. But please notice how he doubles his claim to the church. He says, my vineyard, and then he doubles that claim by saying, which is mine? Nobody else's. It is mine. I've purchased it with my own blood, and it's not for sale. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But hey, he lends assurance to the bride that she still belongs only to him, and he excludes all others from having any right to her. I'm glad that I'm his. I am my beloved, and my beloved's is mine. I'm not married to another, and neither am I a whoremonger, and neither is he, my friend, but we've been espoused to him as a chaste virgin. I'm glad, thank God, I'm his, and he is mine for all eternity, and he's given us church in the Bible that the church that is bought with his blood belongs to him, and nobody else has any right to it. I guarantee you he'll protect it. Amen. Amen. Don't nobody leave me now. Amen. This confirms that he has purchased his vineyard with a price and is now the sole proprietor. Amen. Hey, he is the sole proprietor. Amen. I'll make this statement again tonight. It's not a joint partnership. And neither is it a corporation. He is the owner, the president, and the CEO, buddy. He owns it all. He bought it with his blood. This is a heavenly organization left on earth to carry out the will of God and to make a dwelling place for God upon the earth. Amen. And look here, because he is the sole proprietor. He's put out a sign that said, not for sale. I want to preach on that a little while. A vineyard that is not for sale. And by the way, he's prepared to defend the vineyard with his own life and did. I read in the Bible about another man by the name of Naboth. And the Bible said that Naboth had a vineyard. Oh, but there was a wicked king by the name of Ahab that approached Naboth and said, hey, he said, sell me this vineyard for a garden of herbs. Or else, he said, if you won't sell it to me, I'll give you another vineyard in its place much, much better than what it is. And I'll tell you what the reply of Naboth was. He said, how shall I give thee the inheritance of my father's? I'm telling you, there was a vineyard, my friend, in Naboth's life that was worth dying for, and the church that he's left behind ought to be worth you and I giving our lives for, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, and dying for, and pardon the expression, but if it is not worth you dying for, why don't you go somewhere else and serve God? Listen, ain't for sale, friend. I'm going to tell you, don't you think the devil won't try to buy you? I want to get ahead of myself right here. I want to say that the people of God are not for sale. There's yet a remnant, bless your heart, that have not bowed their knee to Baal, son. Everybody that's saved and members of the church are not up for sale. Now, there's some that are. There's others that aren't. But this vineyard, his vineyard, those that he's purchased, not be for sale. May cost Naboth his life, but he kept the vineyard. Now notice with me, the vineyard was Naboth's inheritance. In 1 Kings 21 in verse 3, Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Now I want to define that word inheritance. It means an estate derived from ancestors to an heir by succession or in course of the law. You know what Naboth's saying? They both saying, "This is my heirloom. And I'm not a selling it. God forbid that I should sell my heirloom." He said, "I inherited this vineyard from my fathers, and I plan on leaving this vineyard to my children." Son, I'm here to tell you, we better have a desire in our heart to leave something to our own children. Brother Doug talked this morning in Sunday school about his home church back in Tennessee, how that it's gone down the tube, filled up with nothing but a bunch of old mossy-backed old people. Ain't never had an outreach, ain't never brought in any young people, and it's going down the tube. And I'm telling you, my friend, that a church where we got saved, where we heard the good news, ought to be worth fighting for. It ought to be worth dying for, that we might leave it as an inheritance to our children. Amen! Amen! Amen. Said it's my inheritance. I want to say, friend, I've inherited a few things in the Baptist faith. Amen. My faith is not for sale. Amen. My religion is not for sale. My doctrine is not for sale. Amen. What I practice and believe is not for sale. The church that He has built is not for sale, my friend. No price tag. Say that the vineyard, Naboth's vineyard, and I'll get to the message in a minute when I get done meddling. But Naboth's vineyard was of great importance to him. He realized it was, Ahab tried to buy it, and he tried to replace it with another vineyard. And Naboth's answer was, it could not be replaced. I'm telling you, friend, there's some things in the house of God that can't be replaced. Yeah, that's right. Some things we've been handed down from our forefathers that tell, oh, God forbid that we should ever dump the doctrine of eternal salvation. God forbid that we should ever dump the doctrine of holy, sanctified living. God forbid that we should ever dump separation from the world and being sanctified unto God. God forbid that we should ever, my friend, sell the praises of God and the worship of God to a dead, dry-eyed religion that'll lead our children down a primrose path to a devil's hell without God and without any hope. Is anybody listening today? He said, my vineyard, which is mine. Not somebody else's. It wasn't somebody else's then, never shall be. It's not for sale. I'm telling you something, friend. There's some things that can't be replaced in the house of God. It could not be bought. He said, my vineyard cannot be replaced, and it could not be bought, and it could not be used for another purpose. He said, I want to make a garden of herbs out of your vineyard. I'm telling you, we got a whole lot of churches that want to use the house of God for another purpose. I may just bury in right there for a little while. I heard there's a church over in Muhlenberg County where some of the influential money folk in there wanted to build a great big gymatorium, you know, and play basketball and jog around in their underwear and act like a bunch of morons in the house of God. Somebody said, preacher, what's wrong with a Christian life center? Most of them I know are Christian death centers. I'm telling you, the purpose of the church is not to congregate and play ball. The purpose of the church is not to have pie socials. The purpose of the church is not for bingo games. The purpose of the church is set aside, friend, for the preaching of the will of God. Amen. I'm sick of folks that want to come to church and play. It's not for that purpose. You want to play ball, set up a goal at the house and play. You want to have a pie supper, let your wife cook a good lemon meringue pie or coconut cream, invite me and Miss Hall over, make a pot of coffee, and we'll sit down at your table and have a pie supper. Amen. Well, we got to entertain our boys and girls. Naboth said, this is my vineyard. It cannot be replaced. It is not for sale. And it's for the purpose of raising grapes, friend. It's not for a garden of herbs. Amen. Some of y'all catch that after a while. Some of these camp meetings you go to, they want to play games. I've got a thing in the mail a while back. They had a camp meeting, and what they was going to do in the afternoon was let the women go shopping and take the men out to play golf. God help. Now some of the women said, "Oh boy, we got to go shopping. Give them $100 to do it on." Somebody said, "Well, I left that church and come home with a new dress." What'd you get on the inside? We don't come to church to get things on the outside. We come to the house of God to get our head busted, friend, and put something on the inside to help us live for God's glory. It's got a purpose. This church has got a purpose. It constitutes a dwelling place for God. It's to evangelize the world. Oh, yes, it's a place of fellowship and communion with Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 in that chapter says, "And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will." You know what he's saying? He said, "I want something there just like I am." That's what most folks want at church. Something just like we got at home. It ain't going to be that way. Not while my name's hanging out there on the shingle anyway. It ain't for sale. People ain't for sale. I hope that some of you in here can't be bought. Amen. Pastor ain't for sale. Preaching ain't for sale. Church ain't for sale. Ain't a vineyard, bless your heart, that ain't for sale. Amen. "So I'll give thee it for a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Let me buy it from you." I had a fellow sit right in there and say, "If you'll just put us on there, you'll never have want for another for money ever again." That same crowd just got done trying to buy a preacher in Muhlenberg County and didn't get the job done. And when they didn't get their way, they moved out. I'd have hooked them in the face and said the same thing, buddy, that they said to the sorcerer. What was it? Philip the sorcerer. I'd said, "Your money perishes with you in hell, for you're yet in the gall of bitterness and know not the grace of Almighty God. And their money will burn with them in hell. A man or a woman, rather buy the man of God or buy the house of God. I tell you, they'll fry in the devil's hell. And you can tell that crowd over there I said so. I'm glad the man over there had a backbone. I may go shake his hand tomorrow." Amen. Not for sale. The vineyard was worth dying for. They said, carried old Naboth forth, carried him forth, set him on high outside the city, and stoned him with stones that he died. And you don't know what makes this vineyard worth its value that it is? The Lord Jesus was carried out to a hill and died for it. Anything that's worth dying for, you ain't going to give up too easy, friend. Yeah, man, I've been thinking about this church. I ain't ready to roll over and play dead. Some of you can just sit there and pooge up, frown, do whatever, but I ain't ready to die. Whoa, no, son. I'm about ready to get out here and shout by myself. I can't get anybody else to shout with me. Bless God, I'll shout by myself. Amen. I found this. I feel like that you're worth you. Are worth dying for. And if you ever come to grips with the fact that your family is worth you dying for, you'll die out to your selfish carnality, friend, and live in the Holy Ghost for God, that you might get your family in the gates of hell. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, you don't understand. Everything ain't a going my way." Well, just bless God on the bandwagon, for everything ain't a going my way all the time either. If you think being saved, making everything going your way, I've got news for you. You're going in one way and everything else is going in the other way. They ain't nothing.
Amen.
In this world going the same way you're going.
Amen.
Everyone said nothing. "For the world shall melt with a fervent heat and all the elements therein. But the Word of God liveth and abideth forever."
Somebody said, where is that word sown in my heart? Woo! Son, I'm glad. Thank God for that book. But the word is sown in the flesh, like tables of our heart, and it liveth and abideth forever. These books that we call the Bible, them pages that the Bible is written on, can burn in a fire. But that word that's in my heart and your heart will abide forever. It won't burn in a fire. The world burns and that word in your heart will stand. Now throughout all eternity, while hell is set aflame, the word in your heart will yet abide and live forever. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to say there are some things in the church because they have been inherited. Naboth's vineyard was inherited and it wasn't for sale. He wanted to leave it to his family. There's some things in the church because they have been inherited should be important enough for you and I to die for. They're not for sale. Now come on in the house, children. I've got something to give you right now. I want to say, number one, this pulpit is not for sale. It ain't for sale. Somebody said, well, preacher, what makes it so valuable? You realize that the word pulpit is only mentioned one time in the Bible. And one is the number of God, my friend. And God has assigned this holy, sacred desk to a man of God for the purpose of thundering the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. Thunder it out over the pew. Thunder it out over the airwaves. Thunder it out through the community. Preach the gospel to the lost and dying. This is God's pulpit of wood. Amen. And it ain't for sale, son. Amen, you're home. Thank God you're here today. You do know that one is the number of God, and it's mentioned one time in the Bible. In the book of Nehemiah. One time. It said in Nehemiah 8:4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which had been made for the purpose. Go to Nehemiah 8:4 and read it, which was made for the purpose of what? For Ezra the scribe to stand upon. A pulpit of wood to stand upon. That rules out some of these little lectrums some of these Holy Ghost boys have got. Oh, clap to Jesus. On a little old thing about that tone, about that big round. He stood upon the pulpit of wood. I'm telling you, if I feel like standing upon that pulpit of wood, I'll stand upon it, son. Amen. And it's there for a purpose. Amen. Only being used in once, and Scripture signifies that it belongs to God. Amen. And it's only being used once signifies it has a single purpose. No other place in the Bible is it used. It's God, and it's got a single purpose. It's not a place to tell jokes. Oh, I wish our preacher had more humor. Why don't you just tell God you wish I'd quit preaching? I wish our preacher would tell a joke every now and then. Won't you tell God that? I can't find one joke nowhere in the Bible Jesus ever taught. I don't find Him clowning around, carrying on, wretched jawing, jesting, tomfoolery and all that. Behind the pulpit, my friend, it's a place for the preaching of the Word of God, and it ought to be taken serious. A preacher, will you help me? Will you help me? A preacher, every time he stands at that pulpit, friend, stands between heaven and hell for every lost man, woman, boy, and girl that steps under his voice. Amen to God. You think the devils of hell don't fight, and some of you all stand out there and your face made out of stone, you think you're helping? Quenching the Holy Ghost and a grieving God, you ain't helping nothing. Smile, you're on candid camera. I want to remind you, don't want to get ahead of myself, My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Big Brother's watching you this morning. Amen. Won't charge you none for that. Hey, it's used in proclaiming the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 3, the Bible said, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. Woo! I'm glad he read the Word in the water gate. The Word! The water is the type of the Word. He read it in the water gate. From morning, this is hair lip, some of you, from morning till midday. Boy, we have to stay in church till 1 o'clock again today. Morning to midday! He read the Bible before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of law. Some of these kids crawl backwards and forwards and around all over the pews. Some folks come to church and ain't a bit more attentive of what's going on in the pulpit than a bull, man in the moon, friend. Somebody said, well, you're just Brother Hall. Oh, but this is God's eternal and inerrant, infallible Word of God. And son, when it's read and preached and taught, we ought to be attentive to everything that is going on. Amen. Won't charge none for that. So the people were attentive to all that went on in the book. And notice what it done to the people. It brought unity among the people. Verse number 1 said, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Amen. It's amazing, son, how that preaching, now somebody said, well, everybody ain't unity around here. Everybody saved is. I won't charge you a thing for that. Everybody saved is. Amen. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost sees to it. The Holy Ghost is like oil that was poured on Aaron's head and ran down over his beard, even Aaron's beard, and run all the way down to the skirts of his garment. We're all in one body by the same Spirit. All the saved. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to tell you what brought us there, that book. On the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. Nobody had the sore toes and the back aches and the whooping coughs and the dribbling drizzles and the, all this stuff. Oh no. They were all there in one place. Amen. In one place. Don't nobody leave me now. I brought unity. Oh, were you having an exodus today or are you all moving out to the promised land or what? Did I run my own son-in-law off and my daughter? God help us. I'm getting too rough, I guess. Not only brought unity, but it brought understanding to the people. Amen. Verse number 8 says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and get this, and it gave sense and caused them to understand the reading. But, hey, that word sense means to make circumspect or to give intelligence to. Now, I'm telling you that this Bible, friend, that will give you spiritual intellect. I think I've already lost you. That's why it ain't for sale. Remember when Brother Brown was here? Remember when Brother Nolan was here back when we had our marathon? They talked about people understanding the Bible. Brother Brown came in and preached a few nights later and talked about how people ought to understand the Bible. You know what he told me in private? He said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with your church. He said, your people do not understand the love of God that's been shed abroad in their heart because of Calvary. Amen. Hey, reading the book of Psalms, I don't have time to go there. You know what happened to those people that come up out of Egypt? Why they turned on God? The Bible said in the book of Psalms, I believe Psalm either 78 or 106, that they understood not His wonders down in the land of Egypt. Son, I'm going to tell you. What's wrong? People, they don't understand what God's done for them. Don't understand the gospel. Amen. Woo! Son, I'm glad I got a hold of something about the gospel. just an old wall, tailbound, wayward sinner, son, on my way to a crossless eternity, sitting on a bar stool trying to drown my sorrows in a bottle of blue ribbon. Whoa, crying in my beer, but buddy, something big happened to me on that Sunday morning, 1970. He made me to understand the grace of God in my life.
I wish y'all had seen the first time I ever laid eyes on Billy Bendig. He sat around his sausage roll just like this. And I could see the thoughts running through his little mind. I'm here and that's about all. Am I right or not? I just want to get my wife off my case. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here. Bless me if you can. Budge me, sir. Try to. He didn't know somebody bigger than sir was hanging around that place.
Hey, man! Yeah, somebody bigger than sir's hanging around, son. And if somebody bigger than sir ever gets a hold of you, it lightens your mind, gives you an understanding of grace and mercy and love and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost and eternal life. Preaching does that. Well, I got to hurry. I want to say the pulpit's not for sale. Don't nobody leave me now. I want to say, secondly, the prayer altar's not for sale. Heard a preacher in this town. Now, I don't have a bone to pick with him. I was before God. I don't. But he said, I wish I'd never seen an altar in a Baptist church. He said, it's the most damnable thing I've ever seen in Baptist churches is an altar. I probably still have the tape. I'm glad that little altar, I'm glad his altar is not for sale. Amen. I read about a man by the name of Jacob when he went back to Bethel. He got back to Bethel. The Bible said in Genesis 35:1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. You know what Bethel is? It's the house of God. Go on down to church house and just live down there a while. Son, I think we ought to have another camp meeting. I'm talking about just coming to church and camping around the holy word of God, singing the songs of Zion, giving a jubilee in our soul, yes, and just dwell there for a while. Set up bunk beds for the kids in one room, beds for the women in the other, and beds for the men in the other, and just camp out here a little while. Amen. Go down to Bethel and dwell there. Don't you dare leave Bethel. Hey, don't you dare leave the house of God. Amen. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved, friend. Amen. I wouldn't give you a plug. That's why these have Pat Boone can baptize in his bathtub. Men can have ministries that sidestep, and I won't mention any. I'd probably make some of you. I'd offend some of you. Men can have ministries that sidestep the church. They know nothing about Bethel, the house of God. I heard last Wednesday that one of the greatest ministries in the United States of America went down the tube Wednesday night. It's gone. It is gone, friend. It's gone! Because some man on a mission board usurped authority over the pastor in his pulpit and stood between him with five men in the church and dared him to walk to the pulpit to preach. And that pastor has got authority over the church and the mission board and the whole ball of wax down there. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, when Satan will raise up a man like that, that ministry is done. In God's mind. And they're crumbling all over the place. Selling out for dollars. And you know what he said? You know a statement he made? He said, this president of this mission board said, y'all only pay me $30,000 a year. And look how much you pay the pastor. Yeah, they pay him $30,000 a year. Plus he preaches out probably 50 weeks a year. And probably makes another $75,000. That is a world's smallest record player. And I hope he's listening, playing My Heart Bleeds for Dr. Bill McCorkle.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I'm sick of people being bought for money, friend. Selling out for an almighty dollar. Power, prestige, wanting to be top dog, number one man. Oh, I'll take that for the people of the church. Come on in the house, boys. Not for sale! Son, when you tell me I can't any longer preach, don't try to run me off. Just call me back there and say, preacher, we can't handle it anymore. You or me one's got to go, and I'll go! But until I go, I'm going to preach. To go to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeareth unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Bethel, the house of God, hear me well. Amen. Cannot be separated from the prayer altar. Amen. What did Jesus say? And my house, it is written, Matthew 21:13, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. Son, you can't separate God's house from the prayer altar. Amen. My praying ain't for sale, buddy. Amen. That altar ain't for sale. That altar is a place of sacrifice. It's on the altar that men get regenerated. It's on the altar that men repent. It's on the altar that revivals are birthed into the hearts of men and the house of God. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, if we're not praying, we're of all men most disgraceful in the nostrils of God. Well, Brother Hall, I don't know how to pray. It's time you learn. I was regenerated at an altar on September 13, 1907, in a little Baptist church. I was regenerated and I repented on that altar.
Amen.
And through the praying on an old-fashioned altar, that a revival that is desperately needed will come to the house of God. My vineyard, which is mine, my church,
is
not for sale. And I'm not saying this is my church. I'm talking about him. But I ain't for sale either. Third thing, and I've only got 3 points. I'll close with this. It ain't too late. The pulpit, our pulpit, this pulpit's not for sale. Our prayer altar is not for sale. Now, I want to say this, and I'll speak on behalf of myself. I can't speak for nobody here but me. But my praise is not for sale. Tell your disciples to hold their peace. Why are you holding your peace this morning? Some of you sold your praise. What'd you sell it for? What did the devil offer you for it? It may take you further than you want to go.
Amen.
Keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay, friend.
Amen.
My praise is not for sale. I've got to find my glasses. Thank God, I better hope my eyes is not for sale either. They're about gone. Our praise. Now listen now, in our song of praise. My song of praise is not for sale. We sang like old grandma. Son, that's right. We sang like we're over the hill. We sang like that guy Larry Montgomery, that woman Larry Montgomery was talking about on the preacher's hour Friday night. Said he's sitting in a church in Florida and there's a woman sitting there had on a mink stole and had her hair all poofed up. Said cockroaches was crawling out of her hair and out of that mink stole. Church. Cockroaches crawling out somebody's hair. Can you imagine somebody being that trifling and sorry? They'd actually let cockroaches multiply in their hair. Well, we kind of like that. We just kind of sit and mully grub around. I don't like a song Brother George picked. I don't like what the preacher. I don't like that special number. What do you like? I don't want some of these fellows in here like I like to eat.
Amen.
Psalms is not to say, listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 7:17. He said, and I will sing praise to the name
Amen.
Of the Lord Most High.
Amen.
See, somebody's got the idea that all praising is somebody hooping and bawling and hollering. That's not all to it, son.
Amen.
There may be shouts of praise, but I'm telling you, there's songs of praise and exultation that exalt the name of Christ.
Miss Hall was singing that song while he was playing that song a while ago.
Amen.
Son, I couldn't help but to get involved in it.
Amen.
Some of y'all think I just sat up here and do that. What number was that, Sister Hall? Huh? 258? 257? Do for you.
Amen.
Saved by His power divine, saved to a new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy,
woo,
is complete. Saved! Saved! And three times saved! Redeemed! I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy, His child. Forever and forever I am.
Son, if I don't put some juice in your crankcase, buddy. High octane, ethyl, 93 plus. I'm talking about songs of praise. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him and I am helped. Therefore I'll mully grub and sad sack. Oh no. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise Him. You know, friend, you can praise Him without shouting at all. All you got to do is just lift up your voice and sing. And let her rip. Whether you like the song or whether you don't like it. If we get in the wrong key, we'll back up a notch, bless God, and start all over again. We ought to have enough God on us, but don't come out right the first time. We ought to just spit in the devil's face, back up and sing the whole thing over again.
Amen,
amen to God. And sing to Him. Quit worrying about somebody else.
Amen.
I couldn't help one man. Brother Jerry, I love him. He won't care. He said, we'll go in the midst of tribulation. Midst of tribulation. I don't worry about that. He says tribble, I say tribute. It don't make no difference to me,
right.
Son.
Amen.
I'm not singing so Jerry can hear me. I'm singing to God. I'm praising Him.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Tell you what we all need just to lose ourselves one time in the love. I'm talking about getting lost.
Yes.
Slap, go silly, son. Yes. Fall off the edge of the mountain.
Amen.
Get over in that basking skillet and bask just a little while. Open your mouth and sing. Somebody said, I can't sing. Practice.
Amen.
Get home where nobody can hear you and practice.
Amen.
Go out in the woods and sing to the squirrels.
Amen.
And son, if they ever stop and listen to you, you know you got a God in heaven that's got your ears. Praise Him. Our songs of praise is not for sale. My sacrifice of praise is not for sale. And I've used this a number of times. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Give Him thanks to His name. Anybody want to testify? Thank you, Jerome.
Woo!
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
Amen.
Down there at that doctor's office the other day, and I turned the corner like that, my foot drug a little bit, and that black nurse, she said, Mr. Hall, said my blood pressure is only 175 over 104. She said, do your eyes ever get blurry? I said, yes, ma'am, they sure do. She said, they do. She said, do you ever get dizzy? I said, oh, yes, ma'am. She said, how often? I said, well, that depends on how wild I get on Sunday morning.
Amen.
She didn't say nothing else.
Brother Steve, the other day, said, "Preacher, I expect someday to see you just blow up there." You know what I told him? I heard old Harold Siler say this, but it's worth repeating. How can I not praise Him when I feel the presence of His touch down in my soul? I gotta thank Him for what He's done for an old wretch like me. Hallelujah to God! I want to thank Him.
And then I thought about our story of praise is not for sale. Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from our children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of our Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. If you ask me, we ought to have a story to tell. Ought to have a story for our children. You know something? The older I get, when I get ready to make the crossing, I don't want my grandkids to walk up to me and say, "Papa, how come you're dead at 4 o'clock in the house, you know?"
Amen.
Papa, our church sure is dead, ain't it? Wonder why. Showing the praises of God to our children. You know what I had a lady tell me the other day? She said, "Brother Hall," said, "the ladies' class back there showing it like it used to be." Said, "The ladies used to testify, weep, cry." Said, "Don't do that no more." I never said a thing to that lady about it. I said, "Well," I thought to myself, "I know the men's class used to shout, testify, cry. They don't do that anymore, will
you?"
You know what breaks my heart? These little kids sitting there. You know what they're going to say when they get a little older? If that's all they are to it, stand on it.
Amen.
I'll find something out yonder.
Amen.
You know why some of y'all stay so uptight that you're like a banjo string ready to break?
Amen.
You don't know how to come down to the church house, cast your care upon Him, and let your emotions out of the bag down to the church house.
Amen.
How can I, if there's happiness, there'll be a lot less sorrow.
Amen.
Think about that old song. Don't think about the times you're down and out. Think about how He brought you out.
Amen.
Think
Amen.
About sweet, sweet Spirit of God way down in your soul.
Yes.
Whoop!
Yes.
I really believe I could shout and smile a little bit, Miss Sherry, if I'd come down with strokes, heart attacks, leprosy, pleurisy, cancer, sugar diabetes, Parkinson's disease. I told Dr. Fang, I said, "That machine I was on told me I had multiple sclerosis." He said, "Oh, no, my machine, no. I don't know what I got, but I know what I got there.
Amen.
I know what I got.
Amen.
I know where I got it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whoa, yes, I don't know altogether about how I got it. I just know what I got, where I got it. I know the wind was a blowing. I didn't know where it came from or where it went when it left, but I know it blew down my way. Woo! Hallelujah! And it saved me. I'm His property, and I'm not forsaken. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. A vineyard that's not for sale. My vineyard, which is mine. My vineyard. I'm glad that there's people. That vineyard includes people. And I'm glad that there's a little handful here. We call it Island Ford Baptist Church. I'm glad there's a little handful that's alongside the road down here in Madisonville. That's not for sale. If there's an area for sale sign in the house of God this morning, we ought to take the sign down. If we got one out there in the front yard, we ought to go out there and tear it down. If we got Dagon's, all that's left of him is a stump. It's the stump of Dagon out in the front yard. Some of you don't even know who Dagon was. He was the god of the Philistines. When they put the Ark of the Covenant in there where Dagon was at, Dagon fell, and when they come in, there wasn't nothing left of Dagon but a stump. Brother Jerry told me this morning, said, I know how he felt. What about you for sale? Folks, I preach my heart out to you. Best I can. The best way, the only way I know how to preach, all I can preach. Now I'm telling you, it's time that we woke up. Realize who we belong to. And in spite of all the troubles, He's aware of them. He knows about them. And take confidence in Him that He knows the way that we take. And when we're tried, we'll come forth as Lord. Bless His wonderful name. My vineyard. Don't it stir you a little bit to know that the sovereign God of the universe owns you? That you've got personal property stamped all over you. And all the devil can do is draw up real close to the outer perimeter and look at you. All he can do. Thank God. I'm going to prove to you tonight, he can't even break the lines of perimeter. You know why? His vineyard has been fenced in. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. Lord, I want to continue to thank You and praise You. I pray that You'll give us grace. And Lord, that You will continue to prop us up that we may stand and be fruitful in these last days. I pray You touch the hearts of Your people and prepare us even for tonight. Help me to preach again tonight, Lord. Strengthen my body, my spiritual man. Rejuvenate it by Your Spirit. Fill me again, even now. We might preach again this day. Save old sinners and touch the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What number is that, Brother George? Page number 10. God's spoken to your heart. Maybe somebody want to thank Him right now before we sing out.